Okay.
Doop, doop,
doop. Is that
starting?
Oh, I thought that was Jumpin' Jack Flash.
No, it's like a race. The race games, those car racing games.
Oh yeah.
Doop, doop, doop.
And then you press the gas.
Yeah, then you fucking pedal to the metal.
With timing right at the end, the last beep. That's how you go real fast in Cruisin' USA. What's up,
Cruisin' USA? That's what it is. You knew exactly what it was. Yeah. What's up, fucker?
I've been to a CC's Pizza before.
Yeah. One time I got a free CC's Pizza from a manager. He came into the arcade area and he was like, hey, you kids get a free pizza if you can tell us our slogan. And it was just written on a banner above the counter. And I just read it and we got a free pizza.
What is their slogan?
CC's Pizza, the best pizza value anywhere.
That's a horrible slogan.
Yep, but yeah, that's it. And I got a spinach pizza.
Tom Cotton, the like fucking full-on fascist Republican senator or congressman or whatever, keeps tweeting the words Little Gaza about like the encampments. He's like, all these Little Gazas are going, Little Gazas left and right. And it's just making me think about like Little Caesars. Yeah. It looks like the name of a pizza restaurant.
Gaza, Gaza.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everybody over there. I didn't mean to. I'm thinking about you constantly. I can't get it off of my mind. I'm sorry.
I went out and fucking fought a bunch of the thugs at UCLA the other night, the Zionists that they sent
out.
Yeah,
you said you got punched by a Nazi, but a Reddit one.
I got punched by a Nazi, but he was an internet Nazi, not a prison Nazi. So it didn't hurt.
Bitch.
It didn't hurt, and he was wearing a motorcycle helmet when he did it. And also got maced by a bunch of the Zionists a bunch of times. And the thing is, the first time I got maced, I only caught a whiff of it, and honestly, it cleared my sinuses. It was kind of nice, and I think it would go okay on pizza. And then right after that, somebody got me in the fucking eyeball.
Yeah, and then you got fucked. You're like, ooh, I can breathe. Ooh. Because you've been having so much problems with your respiratory system.
Yeah, no. If you just do a little bit, it's like a microdose.
If you just do a little bit of bear mace, it'll clear your fucking sinuses, bro. The capsaicin in there is just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Anyways, shit has been fucking crazy over here, so this is going to be maybe not the best put-together episode. It sounds like it's going pretty bad on your end, too.
Yeah, it is, but let's just get started.
All right. This is Season 2, Episode 5, Jumpin' Crack Bass.
It's a gas, 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 in parentheses.
Is that how the song Jumpin' Jack Flash goes?
Jumpin' Jack Flash, it's a gas, gas, gas.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, it's Jumpin' Crack Bass. And when you watch the episode, that's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah, they get some fish addicted to crack. That's not my favorite Rolling Stones song. So I was like, what is it? It's a gas, gas, gas. Also, that is an old man ass lyric. It's a gas, 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 gas.
It's a gas, gas, gas. Ooh, we had a gas touching all the 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's funny.
Okay, so it's a fishing episode. There's crack involved. You do the math. Starts off and they're fishing, and like Hank he's got worms.
Very early in the morning.
Yeah, he's with Bobby, and he's explaining that he likes to dig the worms right out of the ground, and that's the most honorable, pure way to fish. And Bobby's like, why don't you have like all the cool stuff from the bait shop? And
he says, that's cheater bait.
Yeah, those are grown in a little glass case, and they don't know fucking freedom or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he says bait shop worms are kept in cages. I was like, man, Hank's an environmentalist in this episode, but to fish.
Damn, King of the Hill's gone woke, I tell you.
Yeah, sure has. But he, my favorite part is he tells Bobby that you just wait around for 5 hours in the hopes that you get one bite, you know? And it's like a labor of love and patience, like fishing to Hank, you know?
Yeah.
Or at least that's how it's supposed to be. It's this serene, almost like church-like thing for Hank to go fishing.
He's got a philosophy about it.
Yeah.
And he's a purist. And
he's a purist, yes.
Bobby says, why don't you just...
Fishing with John.
Why don't you just buy the fish?
Yeah.
A bunch of weird shit like that.
Little kid question. Why don't you just buy the fish? Shut the fuck up, Bobby.
Hank goes into this like speech about how it's like fishing is about, you know, all this other meditative stuff. It's about how for a moment I don't have to think about who's going to take care of you when you're old. And it all starts with that hand dug. It all starts with a hand dug worm, he says.
There it is.
And while he's giving the speech about the hand dug worm, a guy breaks into their truck and tries to hotwire Hank's truck.
Yeah, it's like before dawn. And they're at a park with like a parking lot next to like a pond or something, you know, like a fishing pond. And yeah, there's just some dude hotwiring his red truck.
Yeah, they're like kind of implicit in this is that they are all this fishing is happening in a bad neighborhood. This all strikes me as East Texas. There's a lot of like white tweakers and stuff going around.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, everybody's like on crack and meth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Hank threatens to kick the guy's ass and stuff and says he didn't get his ass kicked enough as a kid and yada, yada, yada.
Normal Hank stuff.
And he,
there's a I wrote down shooting star. Don't forget to say shooting star. when Hank is giving that speech to Bobby, there's a shooting star. It's like really beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And I laughed for so long, but I didn't catch it till like the fourth time I watched it. Cause I kept trying. I told you I watched this episode 4 times and couldn't take good notes. I kept forgetting that I was watching it for the podcast and just.
Four times.
Yeah, well, over the course of like the last like week, but I kept trying to watch it to take notes and I kept forgetting I was taking notes and just watching it, and then it'd be like 2 episodes later and I'd go, god damn.
Yeah, I feel you.
This is how we do it. But this came out in November 2nd 1977. We forgot to say that.
1997. That's why it's called Jumpin' Jack Flash. Jack Bass. Okay, yeah. That is
so true. Shooting star. Sorry for throwing us off. There was there was a beautiful shooting star.
Oh, that's a good detail because they do that when everything gets all poetic.
Yeah.
At the beginning and at the end. And whenever that happens plot wise, little things like that happen. They're very cute.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Now they're at court. And there's this judge, and the judge has a fucking Cajun accent because he's played by James Carville.
And he's one of those like wild judges, like that, like sentences people, like one of those southern judges that's like, you are gonna have to pluck the feather of like, you know, like 15 chickens. You know, I don't know. Those, that like trope of hard justice, like.
Yeah, the modern version of like a hanging judge.
Yeah.
That used to be a thing in the old West. There's a guy named Judge Roy Bean who like hanged a shit ton of people out in West Texas.
Yeah. Judge Bean.
Uh-huh, Judge Bean.
I know of him.
Oh. Oh, yeah, you're like a Texas history tour guide now.
Tour guide. Yeah.
That makes sense. So this guy,
James Carville.
Yeah, who kind of sucks now, but he was funny on comedy shows in the 90s. He was on 30 Rock and stuff.
Yeah,
in the 2000s.
Doesn't the animated judge have hair?
I'm not sure. I think he might have been bald.
Might have been bald to look like him.
Yeah, I feel like he might have been, but don't hold me to that.
Keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
Easily provable wrong, and I'm guessing. So Peggy's in the stands or whatever the fuck they're called in court, and she's talking to some pregnant woman next to her, and she's like, "That's my husband Hank. He could have been killed." And the woman is like, "That's my boyfriend, the guy who broke into the car." And she's like,
"Boyfriend."
So
and looks down at her belly. It's like, <"Da-da-da-da.">
Yeah. And then Judge James Carville guy sentences the guy to 90 days living in a truck. He's like, if you like living in a truck so bad, I'm having trouble doing the Cajun accent.
If you like breaking into trucks so bad, why don't you live in one? Why don't you live in one if you like breaking in a truck so bad?
That's a pretty good Cajun accent.
But like, that's a thing. That's like a Texas thing, is like in the 90s there were judges like that. Like, yeah. Not just like Mr. Bean, but like but like they would do weird shit like that. Like make you sit in a rowboat like for a weekend with, you know, like with no umbrella or like some bullshit.
I like how you just called Judge Roy Bean Mr. Bean. Like he was all mute the whole time and he was just like sentencing people with his eyebrows.
He said he couldn't sentence everybody because he had a turkey on his head. Remember the episode? I think Mr. Bean's one of those shows that only has one season. But it seems like infinite. And the one where he's going to work and he shaves his tongue. I think about that every day when I go to work and I'm driving to work. I go, shave my tongue like Mr. Bean.
Oh man,
I love him.
Yeah, I love him. Texas and Louisiana both have this like
that like wild, crazy hair judge.
Like really stupid emphasis on like punishment.
Eye for an eye shit.
Yeah, it's like stupid. It like doesn't work. It's just
old. It's just like performatory for like crazy stuff.
Yeah. So Hank then gets his car back from the impound and it's totally taken apart. Yeah, it's totally taken apart. And he's like, you know, he thinks he's won the day here, but then it's like the state took apart his car because they said that the guy was inside of it. And so they had to check it for drugs. And he's like, he was in the fucking driver's seat. He wasn't in the spark plugs. And they're like, well, we know that now. And they hand him a bag. And it's just in it. Back at the Hank Hill, the Hill House.
The haunting of Hill House.
Luann is in like interesting, different getup than usual. She's got a baseball cap on, like a blue shirt, like a ponytail. She has the truck manual and she's found all the parts, which is very interesting because like Hank is often mad that everyone doesn't go to Home Depot and shit as much as him and like love taking things apart. But she's totally like going to take his car apart and put it back together. And she's got all the parts and shit laid out. And he's just like, whatever, because he's obsessed with fishing. He's a real asshole.
Yeah. And I think I seem to remember that like Luann learned all that from her dad, right?
Something like that. That makes sense.
Yeah. But like Luann's like a mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's her mechanic getup.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mechanic mode. So
yeah, she went full mechanic mode.
Hank is stressed out about his truck and also because he can't catch any fish. So he's just complaining a lot. And she goes, when I get stressed out, I do yoga. And she starts like just stretching her legs all over the place and stuff.
Look, I can put my leg over my head. And Hank goes, bull, keep your legs below your waist for God's sake.
So Hank then gets in a car and drives down to the lake and he's fishing with the alley boys. Dale is using garlic scented lures and I think Boomhauer is using like an electric one or something. And Hank goes on this rant about how that's cheater bait. And
that sounds like something from like right now, like a scandal right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, have you heard of cheater bait?
Yeah, some shit that people are saying on TikTok or whatever. Yeah. Like a sneaky link. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Dale is going, you and your worms are fishing in the past, Hank, in the era of black and white TVs and some other shit. And
which like it's fishing. It's a string on a pole with something at the end that you catch meat with, like a fish. It's like the one of the most primitive things.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Right. The fact that there's like a space in this for them to have this argument is ridiculous because it's all fishing. Boomhauer catches this huge fish and he goes, dang old teeth on that one, like a big old dang old taco grande, man.
What?
He calls this huge fish a taco grande. It's because it has a bunch of teeth. Because
it's a
on
big
it.
Old teeth. Boomhauer's so weird.
Yeah. It's a huge fish, though. They take a picture of it and they throw it back. And then Dale catches a fish. And when he catches it, he does like a puppet thing with it where he's like, hey, look at me. I'm pretty big, huh, Hank? And
it bites him.
Oh, yeah. It bites him. He throws it back.
And he goes, what does he say? He's like, you rat bastard or something like that.
I don't know.
Something I can't remember. I didn't write it down. Yeah. Something hilarious, I bet.
Hank calls it a cheater bait. Dale goes, Hank calls it cheater bait, but I call it scrum diddly garlicalicious. He uses garlic bait. And so the guys keep catching fish like over and over and over again. They're just fucking bringing them in. And it's interesting that they are catch and release guys. I would have thought they would come home. But they keep catching them, throwing them back. And Bill's like really giving Hank a lot of shit over it. He's like, why don't you ever catch a fish, Hank? You know? Dale, when he catches one, he goes, wingo, man. I can't remember if he started saying this yet. This is one of my favorite Dale things. He says, wingo. It's like his way of...
No, I think this is maybe the first time he says it.
It's prominently... It comes back a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
So it makes me happy. Hank can't catch anything, and it's like they're starting to notice, like, hey, you actually haven't caught anything. We've never ever outfished you like this before. And he's like, whatever.
So he starts to get self-conscious.
So he goes to his bait shop, his trusted bait shop, which
Tommy,
is called
right?
Tommy? Oh, Tommy, yeah. And it's called Layaway Ray's Bait and Tackle.
Ray.
And the guy,
dude, I think Tommy's is from that Larry the Cable Guy bait shop movie.
Oh.
It might be from that. Because I watched that, Jackson and I watched that a couple weeks back.
So you watched a Larry the Cable Guy movie?
Yeah, it's a bait shop. They have to save a bait shop with a fishing competition.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So the guy, Layaway Ray, the guy who owns it, is like very
like scruffy hair.
He's very clearly torching the place for insurance reasons. He says, hey, you know, Hank's like, is this another one of your trout of your mind bait sales or whatever? And the guy goes, no, we're trout of business. And he's like just fucking pouring gasoline everywhere and stuff. And Hank starts asking him about better bait to use. He goes, you giving up the worm, Hank? And he goes, no. He starts looking at all this other stuff that he has, little blood chunk
all the lures.
Things. Yeah. chum, stuff like that. I used to fish with my dad when I was a kid. I vaguely remember like how that stuff
smelled. Do you remember minnows? Did you ever go to like a live bait? Like a general store or a gas station, like out in the hill country or something in Texas, and they had big cement tanks out in the front with water pumps, and they were full of minnows, and you would just get a net and scoop it up in a bucket and buy that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I would just stick my hand in there.
Let him eat you.
All the time.
So Ray says, well, you know, if you're looking for something, have you ever heard of this guy, Jack? Do you remember Jack? And he's like, Jack, I don't know if I remember him because he didn't go to school. He says, no, he never went to high school. He makes his homemade bait now. You might try that. It's supposed to be really good. So he tells him about this guy, Jack, who's just like some hillbilly who
that sells off a corner.
Yeah, he said he wrote the book on making homemade bait, but it's just a bunch of scribbles and stuff on account of he can't read because he didn't go to school. So Hank gets directions to go find this guy, and he's driving around, and he's clearly in the hood, and he doesn't really understand it. And he pulls up on a corner because he sees a guy selling stuff who he assumes to be Jack. And he's like, hey, all right, what's up, Jack? And the guy's like,
can I get some bait?
The guy's like, yo.
Hey, what's up, Jack? Can I get... It's like the most the most Mike Judge thing. Hey, what's up? Can I get some bait?
The guy's like,
yeah, sure, man.
What do you want? What do you need? Looking to buy? Hank's, he's like, you call it bait. That's cool, man.
That's cool, man.
I like that. And he gives the guy some money and he gets past little vials.
Yeah, he's like, that's enough to buy you 3 vials of bait or whatever the fuck he says. And he just hands him little crack vials.
Yeah, like clearly little crack vials, and he's like
those little clear jars with the black top.
Oh, you all know them.
You know,
don't act
for
like
cocaine
him.
And crack, guys.
Hank's never seen them before, so he goes, "Huh, freshness jars. How do you like that?"
Freshness jars.
And as he's driving away, you see the actual guy Jack he was looking for is like just some guy
pulling up and like setting his sign out, like setting his like roadside stand up, but he was like he pulled up like just as Hank pulls away,
and he's got like a big mullet and stuff. It's like clearly the guy,
fisherman guy.
So they go back to fishing. Hank is putting crack on his hook somehow.
It's like, he got so much crack for $20.
For real. Bill's just sitting there staring at him going, I like beer, Hank. Don't you like beer? I like drinking beer. It's the weirdest line.
Yeah. Dale, he's always on the verge of a mental break. Bill is just like, he's just either in space, like disassociating, or like real contemplative and sad.
Yeah. Dale sees Hank putting the crack on his hook and goes, well, we got ourselves a hippie crit. And before long, everybody wants to try it. So Hank starts cutting up the crack with a pocket knife. And they catch a bunch of fish. And Hank catches this fish with a red splotch on its head.
This reminds me real quick of a story. Once I was at this party at my best buddy Andy's house, and all his girlfriend and all their friends wanted to do this Molly that they got, but they had never done like crack rock Molly before, and I had just gotten them a mortar and pestle for Christmas, and we crushed the Molly up in the really nice marble mortar and pestle, and then I just made everyone lick their fingers and stick it in the bowl.
Like fun day.
Yeah, we just passed around this like beautiful marble bowl. It was really funny.
I was at a party a while back, and someone found some Molly in the drawer, and like kind of no one knew, you know, who left it there or whatever. And they tested it.
Molly.
It was like a fucking kind of a banging party, and they tested it for fentanyl, and it came up positive. So we all just were like, damn. All right. Well, never mind.
All right. Okay. Good job, everybody.
It was weird that you never really expect that to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Hank catches the same fish with the red thing on its head like a couple times, and he's like, huh, and then he throws it back, and it like swims back up to him, and it's just like looking at him like a cat, you know, just like, ah, hey, and he's like, no, go on, get vamanos, and he throws the fucking fish and it comes back.
It like swims across the lake.
Yeah.
It's like, I gotta get back there. You see it like turn around and like, no.
And the fish are like fucking bombarding the boat and
just jumping in it.
Yeah. And the water splashes everywhere. And Dale gets soaked while he's smoking a cigarette. He goes, oh, nah, now I have to reapply my sunscreen.
Just a throwaway line for fun. Oh, no. Like, why does Dale care about sunscreen?
Right. I don't know. Well, he's always wearing a hat and glasses.
Dale doesn't give a fuck about sunscreen. What are they talking about? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I think it was the joke was that he wasn't.
Was gonna, that?
Well, he was still smoking the cigarette, so like he wasn't going to switch that out. I don't know.
Yeah. I just think of things so literally, you know? I'm just like, what the hell, Dale?
Hank goes, I tell you what, I caught more fish today than I did in the 80s, and those were the Reagan years.
What does that have to do?
I think that Hank assumes the economy extends itself to how many fish you can catch.
Fish? All right, cool.
And he thinks that the economy was good during the Reagan years.
Yeah. Because
he is a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Hank sneaks back into bed with his vest still on. He's been fishing like all day and night and stuff. And then his eyes just open and he's just like, I gotta go back out there. So he sneaks back out to go fishing. And, this is like, you know, at home with Peggy, like he gets in bed. He's just like,
he's never felt this thrill before.
It's interesting. Cause it never really explicitly states that crack is what they're using, but it's like very clear. And, they get kind of addicted, like, to the fishing.
Well, also they're touching it.
Yeah, that might be it. They're getting like a contact high or something.
Yeah, maybe. The crack is good.
They're at least on some level, like metaphorically, they're becoming
addicted
fiends.
To it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like without realizing it. It's very funny.
Yeah.
At the breakfast table, Hank, he comes back in after we go fishing all morning. He goes, somebody call Ripley. He's the only one that's going to believe how many fish I caught. And he refers to this new thing he's using as miracle bait. And Bobby hears him and goes, doesn't it all start with hand dug worms? And
yeah, all the stuff that he told Bobby, the speech and the shooting star, you know, just turning his back on his son for crack.
Yeah, it's stupid. So he's like, where am I? Sorry, I got distracted.
Sorry.
It's not stupid. I was looking at something on my phone and it was stupid. And I just said that about Bobby. I'm sorry, Bobby. You're not stupid.
Sorry, Bobby.
That's actually a really good point. So Hank sort of starts to rationalize because he's so into catching all these fish. He goes like, yeah, it started with a hand dug worm. It's kind of like, remember the time I started building you a clubhouse and I ended up with a new tool shed. It's about how it starts, but not how it ends or whatever. And Luann is talking about the truck that she's just fixing all by herself for Hank and says that she had to order a new fuel pump. So she asked them to ups it, which I think she means UPS. And for some reason, this goes against Hank's philosophy. I would have thought he was a UPS guy and not a USPS guy because he's a conservative. And he likes corporations over the state. But for some reason, that makes him go, whoa. And he goes, good thing I just got back from fishing or that would really bother me. Then he stops and thinks for a second. He goes, it's kind of starting to bother me.
Bless him.
So he decides to go fishing again because he's hooked on fishing. And in the car, he's got all the guys with him, all the alley guys. And he goes, I only have a little left. And Bill goes, it's okay. Can I just have a little? It only takes a little. And he goes, actually, I'm fresh out. So he's just like lying in real time. He's fiending. He's the guy with the
actually,
bag.
Exactly. Actually, it's all out.
And Dale goes, don't lie. When you lie, you make an ass out of you and me, which is not how that saying goes.
Yeah. The first time a teacher said that to me, I was like, what the fuck did you say?
Talking about your ass to me, Miss Stevens.
What the hell did you just say to me, lady?
Hank is, he starts to realize they're catching him in his little lie. He goes, I just remembered I told Bobby I'd take him fishing. So he just leaves the car and goes and gets Bobby. And then he just goes fishing with Bobby. And while they're in the car still, there's just this odd beat where Boomhauer takes out a stick of gum and starts chewing it. And Dale starts playing with his cigarette. And then Bill goes, I'd take one of those sticks of gum. It's very funny. It's very like the Office level moment where it's just like the camera is still on them and they're just like, huh, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing happens. Bobby is now in the boat with Hank. He's throwing the fish back over and over and over again. That's his role. And he's just like, Dad, I'm tired, because it's like all he's doing.
I thought we were going to sit around for 5 hours.
Oh, right. Yeah. And Hank's like, oh, good one.
He goes, when do we get to the part where we sit around for 5 hours? That's what he says. He's all sad. He's like, this used to be fun.
Yeah. And Hank is like, oh, good one, Bobby, because he thinks it's like a dad joke, but he's Bobby's serious. He wants to sit.
Yeah, Bobby's serious as shit.
He loves to sit.
Me too, Bobby.
That's why you got that tattoo of Jer. Peggy. Okay, so now back at home, Hank and Peggy are in bed again. It's the middle of the night. There's a sound. Peggy goes, "Wake up, Hank. We're being burgled." And Hank gets up and he starts rifling around for something to fucking attack the burglar with. He goes into the garage. He's got a weed whacker. And it's Dale Gribble. And Dale's like, it's Dale Gribble. Whatever. Hank threatens
Don't
him.
Don't shoot me in the face, Hank.
Because yeah. Dale is looking for the fucking crack.
This is a stand your ground state, Dale.
Yeah. It's crazy. It sounds like a chainsaw. It's like vroom,
it's a fucking, yeah, it's a fucking powerful weed whacker, dude.
And Hank, they're all fiending. Hank is like, Dale is like looking for the crack. Hank's yeah. like, get out of here. Because he's looking through his tackle box. And Dale then goes, well, my termite inspection is concluded. He tries to play it off. And then back at breakfast table, Bobby goes, Can I have some more butter for my pancakes? And Hank just goes, that's it, I'm going fishing. So he's just like, fishing is the answer to everything. He's super on edge. But as he's fishing this time, the fish finally stop responding to the crack. They like look at it and then they're like, and he fucking fishes away. He swims away. Because they're getting a tolerance, right?
Yeah. So
it's like not enough. Hank drives up and passes the he fucking pulls up in the car like all annoyed, opens the door, and he throws the crack at Dale. And Dale's like, all right, because he's got the crack. Then he goes, wait a minute, what's wrong with it? Because he figures out there's no reason Hank would have gotten rid of it if it was still working.
Yeah.
Dale figures out what's happening. He explains that he went to the Exterminators Academy at Humble. This is really funny if you live in Texas, because Humble is a place. I don't know. It's weird. Spelled humble, pronounced humble.
Yeah.
Also very East Texas. It's a very East Texas episode.
Yeah.
He explains, you've introduced.
It feels like Beaumont.
Mm-hmm. It totally does. He goes, you've introduced a new element into their ecosystem. They've gotten wise to it. You need something stronger. Cockroach 101. he went to Cockroach College.
Uh-huh. It's in his books.
Yeah. So Hank goes back to the crack dealer, and he's explained to the dealer. He's just standing in front of him explaining, like, yeah, so I need something, you know, it's not working.
Stronger
anymore.
Bait.
And the dealer goes, yeah, I know. You need something stronger. And he goes, of course you understand. You're a fisherman. He does not understand that this dude he's talking to is a fucking crack dealer.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's smoke comes from around the corner, and Dale is he appears like the smoking man, and he goes, he's like, Dale, you followed me. He goes, yeah, every twist and every turn. And by the way, I'm going to need to follow you home. Because he followed him. Right as that happens, the cops show up.
That's funny.
They yell, freeze. And then it's like hip hop starts playing and shit. Like it's cops.
Yeah. Or
something. Next scene, they're in court.
Yeah, I was going to say, when do they get in court for the weird sentencing?
That's right now. And then we're going to become reacquainted with James Carville.
With the judge.
The judge. I played D&D one time with Blake and a bunch of comics up here. Blake was really excited to DM because apparently he loves doing it. But we get so furious with us because we didn't know how to play and didn't make the right moves and shit. It fucked up his game. But you know, you role play when you play D&D. So I decided to play a druid who could turn into an alligator, and I made him Cajun. And you have to talk.
Alligators are Cajun, man.
Yeah, it's cool.
Anthropomorphic alligators are Cajun, man. That's how cartoons work.
That's a swamp druid. He's from down there deep in the bayou. So I stayed up all night watching guys with Cajun accents on YouTube, and I tried to like learn the accent. It's difficult to do, but I got a little bit. My thing is I would use I bought a bucket at one of the merchants in the game, and it's a useless item basically, but I would just like bring it out in every battle and be like, you gotta look for the truth deep down in the
deep
bucket.
Down in a bucket. Look in a drop of water. In the bucket there's but only one drop. Yeah. In the bucket.
Exactly. Yeah, he got so fucking mad at me. Anyways,
that's funny. I was speaking of druids, one more thing. I was supposed to go see Neil Young last night, got lightning canceled because of lightning. So I'm trying to think of it like we saved Neil from lightning, so we're heroes, and that's how I'm not going to be sad about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really hoping that those little druid guys were going to come out.
Little druid guys?
Yeah, from that Neil Young movie.
Oh.
The guys, they're like little Star Wars guys.
Right. Little Jawas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Okay, so what does James Carville do?
Okay, so Peggy is like, she's convinced that she got Hank hooked on crack. She said, I got you started with that ginseng tea. And of course, that led to your, and then she's like, you know, he interrupts her. He's like, I'm not a drug addict. And she goes, I'm a substitute teacher, not one of your drug smoking friends, because he's yelling at her and stuff. And Hank has like his court appointed defender, like a public defender, who is like a guy with a ponytail. And he's like, I don't think that they're going to buy this crack bait story. Were you abused? They always go for that. And that makes him even madder.
Yeah.
I am not a doper or whatever. And the lawyer's like, come on, we all use drugs. Like, we all use drugs. Even the president, because this is during the Clinton administration.
Yeah. Famously.
Hank goes, not my president. I voted for Dole. The only thing he's on is painkillers, and he's earned them.
Bob Dole.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Interesting piece of Hank Hill lore is that he voted for Bob Dole.
Voted for Dole.
And doesn't consider Clinton the president. He's one of those guys.
One of those guys. Yeah, Hank definitely would have stormed the Capitol.
Yeah. Ah, tell me about it.
Tell me about it, stud. He sentences them to go fishing.
Well, the first thing that happens is before they're talking, the James Carville judge says, Mr. Gribble, can you please remove your hat? And Dale goes on this tirade about it. He's like, I do not expect the authority of a court that hangs the gold fringed flag, because the gold fringed flag, a gilded flag, denotes a nautical court, and I cannot be court martialed twice. Alluding to some piece of Dale lore, which is that apparently at some point he was court-martialed.
By the Navy?
I guess. So then the judge is like, bailiff, gag him. And the bailiff just comes out and slaps a piece of duct tape over his mouth and takes his hat off.
Very Texas as well. That happens all the time here.
Yeah.
People get their mouths duct taped all the time here, man.
It's fucked up. If you spit on a cop while you're in jail, they put this like a thing over your whole head that's just like it just covers up your mouth with like a plastic
like a torture
band.
Mask.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. Bobby's. Bobby says, objection, Your Honor. My dad has not ever used drugs. He just likes fishing. And then he says, sustained, which is like not even if you were a lawyer. I don't think you're allowed to say sustained.
Yeah.
I just heard this in movies. It's pretty funny. Hank says, you know, the only the hardest drug I use is BC headache powder. And he tries to explain that he was using the crack as fish bait. The judge sort of goes like, fish bait. And then he does this like evil grin and he goes, guilty. He's like, doesn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then the lawyer turns to Hank and goes, I told you. And Hank goes, you're fired. You can't do anything. Well, I guess he could. Technically, he could represent himself.
Yeah.
But then the judge has like a second, what do you call it? Like a
change of heart.
Change of heart. Real quick, and he goes,
a second heart.
He goes, you got the haircut of an honest man, so I'm willing to give you a chance. Okay, you meet
white man to white man.
For real.
White man to white man, I'm gonna let you do some crazy task like a law troll. And you can prove your innocence.
Yeah, a Cajun accent is so much fucking fun to do.
Yes.
He goes, you, me, your bald-headed buddy over there, we're going to go out to the lake, smoke, fish until if you can catch a fish with the fucking bait the way you're saying, I'll let you off.
Yeah.
When he says your bald-headed buddy over there, the camera cuts to Dale, who's still got the tape over his mouth. And he exhales smoke out of his nostrils.
Yeah, because he took the cigarette and flipped it around in his mouth before they taped it. I forgot about that. He went, and he gulped it, and then they taped his fucking mouth. And then he was just smoking in there, like circular breathing, smoking, like Kenny G plays a fucking alto sax or tenor sax or whatever the hell his little tiny saxophone is. That's how Dale is smoking.
That's so fucking funny.
I'm just like thinking of how that feels.
I know. It's got to be
It's
horrible.
Like your head is all full of smoke.
Also, like, how do you even get any suction? Like, yeah. Cigarettes? Does it make any sense?
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand.
So Hank's like,
they
well,
suit up.
Actually, there's a problem. The fish won't take the bait anymore. And he's just like, well, you have to do it or else you're going to jail for 24 months.
Yeah, actually, my defense is not a defense anymore.
As they're leaving, the bait guy who torched his bait shop is being brought in. The next case is announced as Fidelity Mutual versus Layaway Ray's bait shop. Funny. So next scene, final scene, they're in the boat, all of them. Hank, Dale,
the judge and the bailiff.
Yeah, the bailiff is there for some reason.
Yeah, that's that comes to my favorite part of the episode, but we'll get there.
Hank isn't having any luck. They're sitting, the judge is like, all right, you ready to call this charade or whatever? And all of a sudden, this is my favorite part, Dale is, he starts to get a bite. His rod starts jerking and he goes, wing, 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 wingo. That's how he gets a fish.
Wingo.
With the wing, wing, wing leading up to it. It's very funny.
Yeah. While he's reeling it in.
And so he reels in a fish. And they're like, oh, thank God. But then the judge picks it up and bangs it on the side of the
boat. It's frozen.
It's fucking frozen. And Dale goes, I caught it. That's my position. Like a fucking libertarian. Hank goes, Dale, you giblet head. Why did you buy a frozen bass? Dale goes, I had a coupon. I could have just bought a regular dead fish.
Yeah, for like a dollar more.
Judge goes, Only four more minutes of this. I got to be at a lethal injection at midnight.
Jesus Christ.
And then he turns to the bailiff. He goes, get your butt off the cooler. This your His Honor wants a pudding snack.
What the fuck? How silly is that? But then, so he, then Hank, like looks down and it's like one of those moments where he's like, oh, like he's deciding what to do. And he grabs a worm out of the tackle box and he strings up the worm with his back to everybody. And Dale's like, what are you doing, man? Like, we already got caught before with the frozen fish.
Yeah, and he like launches into the speech about how if he's gonna be in jail, he might as well be in jail, you know, for worm fishing or because he goes back to his original self and realizes that he loves a hand dug worm and yada 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 baseball.
America but that doesn't make any context doesn't make any sense in the context of the punishment.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he just feels bad that he has indeed been cheated.
So he like feels, yeah. So he feels worse about it for the worms than he does to like please this judge.
Yeah. In his mind, he's just doing a symbolic act because he feels like it's all over. So he uses the worm and he's like, I'm going to do this with the worm and not with cheater bait.
Yeah.
And,
as hashtag cheater bait.
Yeah. As he's doing this, there's like this beautiful montage of like the toads croaking and dragonflies, you know, flying around and buzzing and stuff. And, the judge is getting all the last bit of the pudding out of the pudding container with his finger the way you do.
Yeah.
And, Dale's fiddling with a cigarette, and then all of a sudden, Hank catches a fish, and it's a little teeny tiny baby fish. And he says, it's the most beautiful fish I ever caught, because it saves him. The judge is a weirdo, so he's like, that's totally enough. He's like, well, hot damn, or whatever. And then they all take Polaroids.
Selfies! It's a selfie montage.
Yeah.
And the best one is there's like all these different ones, like selfies and stuff. And then there's one where they pants the bailiff.
Yeah. There's one where the judge is doing like a fake, like, I'm arresting you thing with the handcuffs on Hank. They're all palling around about this. When they take a picture with the fish, Dale's taking the picture and he goes, oh yeah, it's a beautiful fish. And then he looks closer and goes, he's a beautiful fish, as if he can see the fish's dick. And then that's the fade to fucking black on the Polaroids. Yeah. The one where they pants the bailiff is really funny.
It's so funny. I laughed for so long. It was like Happy Gilmore or something.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Fuck it. We got through it.
Yeah, we sure did, bud. That's a funny one.
It was very funny. Oh,
I'm probably not going to watch it for many years now. I watched it so many times.
Yeah, that's happened with a couple of these. Well, I think after I'm done doing this podcast, I might be like good for a while on.
Yeah, me too. But we got a ways to go.
Let me read the.
It's exciting.
Read the trivia. Okay. The title of the episode is a reference to the song Jumpin' Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones. Thank you. When Bill is knocked out of the boat by the fish, he's shown to be able to stand in the water with only his lower half submerged. This would mean the lake is only 2 to 3 feet deep and would hardly classify as a lake. Additionally, it would be very dangerous to use a motor in water that shallow. Hmm. Okay.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can fish in shallow water like that in a boat, like especially like just like a little aluminum fishing boat like that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, this person is overly cautious.
Bullshit. This person needs a loser, and they need to use the hand-dug worm.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to, like, run ashore like a cruise ship in Italy. Shit's going to flood everywhere. Man, I ain't ever taken a cruise.
Oh, man, because of the shit cruise? Yeah.
Because of everything about it.
Yeah,
like, it seems like so fun, you know, there's shows and magic and a water park and all this cool shit, but then, and like buffets of lobster, but then one person gets sick, or you run aground, or it tips over, and like you're stuck in the Mediterranean, and they have to like airlift you out.
Yeah, or you just get lost forever.
Or you get lost forever in the Bermuda Triangle.
You have to eat each other and stuff.
Yeah, you have to eat your friends.
Judge Roland McFarland bears a striking physical resemblance to his voice, former Bill Clinton campaign strategist and cable news political commentator James Carville. I forgot he was in the Clinton administration. That's funny that Dale, or that Hank then is a Dole guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why they end up pitted against each other in the episode. Okay, very clever.
Yeah, I think that's why they make the joke too, probably.
Yeah. This is such a centrist show. This is interesting. The gagging of Dale, who was a white man gagged by a black bailiff, may have been a parody of the infamous gagging of Black Panther Party leader Bobby Seale, who was a black man gagged by two white bailiffs on the orders of federal judge Julius Hoffman during the infamous Chicago 8 trial. However, Seale's gagging was not related to a matter which involved disruption for wanting to wear a hat in court, but was based on disruption. Huh. That's kind of a stretch, but I like it.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that. But, yeah, it could be. But that happens a lot in Texas, though, too.
Yeah.
Like I've seen pictures on local news of guys with duct tape over their mouths in court, like, my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of Hank's exclamations in this episode, Sweet Gene Vincent, is the title of a song. I don't remember that. The title of a song by British punk rocker Ian Dury. Gene Vincent was an American early rock and roll rockabilly artist from the 1950s. Wow.
Weird.
As Ray has explained that he cannot compete with Megalomart, he's using Megalo brand wipes while preparing to burn down his bait shop. That's funny. It is stated by Ray that Jack, who sells bait out of his truck, grew up in the hills, having never went to school and lacks writing ability. His lack of education is revealed when the side of his truck is shown to read Jack's Bait, B-A-T-E. Oh, that's funny. Like he's baiting off.
off and whose camper they were whacking.
I forgot about that weird, like, passive voice thing.
Yeah, what is it? Johnson, you're a federal agent. Don't you ever end a sentence in a preposition.
Often whose camper they were whacking.
Whose camper they were whacking.
When exclaiming the vast amount of fish he got, Hank references Ripley's Believe It or Not. Ray is later seen working at the Megalomart in the episode Propane Boom and also in Megalo Dale. Oh, interesting. He is seen doing jumping jacks in front of the store with the rest of the employees. Reference to the episode here. Wow.
Weird. He looks like this guy that runs a record store in Austin.
Yeah.
He's got like that the scraggly hair. He like looks like this specific guy. I'll send you a picture of him. It's funny.
And finally, Luann is shown to have exemplary mechanical aptitude in this episode, consistent with season one episodes Pilot and Shins of the Father. The skills go unappreciated by the hills, and it's never suggested that she pursue mechanics. So in later seasons, she becomes a hairdresser, although she can still be found crawling under a vehicle in the last season. That is kind of funny, kind of sad, you know?
Yeah.
She's underappreciated. And that shit ain't easy to do.
It's not. And neither is, like, hairdressing, but it's just really funny that she really, really wants to be a hairdresser, but she's a great mechanic. And she's like, no, I want to do hair. But that's just Luann.
Yeah, what she wants to do here, you know?
She wants to do what she wants to do.
Apparently, when they blow up the tackle shop, the door shuts on its own. That's another one. Well, all right.
Ooh, that's scary.
That's season 2, episode 5, Junk and Crack Bass. It's a gas.
It's a gas.
Yeah. All right. I don't have any shows left I had to cancel some shit because I'm having work problems. So I don't know. Just keep an eye out. I'll be in LA doing shows and, you know, washing the bear mace out of my fucking eyeballs.
Yeah. How are your eyes feeling?
I'm good. I took a cold shower with hand soap, which is how you get that shit off of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't have anything to promote either. Just that's all. I can't remember any of my shows. There's definitely shows coming up, so follow me on Instagram, and that's where I post all that.
All right. Everything's in the show notes.
Easy.
bye-bye. Look down in the bucket now.
See you later. One drop.